I want to confer an identity on you. I want to tell you who you are this morning. And before you leave, you will know who you are. If you never darken the door of a church or a Christian meeting, or you never hear another sermon again, you will know from God's heart who you are. And this is information that I lived my entire Christian life without ever really knowing deep down. I mean, I knew all the oughts and shoulds, and everybody gave me rules and lists and the Ten Commandments, and I never quite knew when I was doing right or wrong, or I was indifferent. I didn't know what to do. But I don't know about you, but I kept thinking that I was what I did, that I had value when I was able to do something. Or secondly, I thought I was what other people said about me, you know? Or third, I thought I was what I had. You know, here are three views of life. When the question is asked, who are you? Here are the three answers that are wrong, by the way. I'm going to let you know up front. The false answer of who am I is I am what I do. That's not true. Because, you know, you get older and you can't do the same things you could do before. Have you figured that out? You get a little bit older and the world and all it values starts diminishing in you. And if your value is set on I am what I do, then when you can't do anymore, then I guess you're not valuable. They'll just toss you away. The second false view is not only I am what I do, but I am what other people say I am. You know, if someone's gossiping behind your back, that attacks your value. Have you noticed how defensive you get when somebody gossips against you? They're saying something evil about you. Well, thank God your identity and who you are is not fixed in what you do, what people say about you, and third, what you have. I am not what I have. But we are in a world that tells us those three lies all day. You are what you do. You are what other people say you are. You are what you have. Now, do you see, if you accept any of those three false identities, I am what I do, I am what other people say about me, I am what I have, then your value is going to go up and down every 24 hours. I mean, when someone speaks well of you, you're up. If they speak evil about you, you're down. If you have a lot of money, you're up. If you don't have any money this week, you're down. Right? If you can do something that is really spectacular at work, you can get people's attention, but when you can't do anymore because you're sick or you go through a hard time, then I guess your value's down. Most of our lives, our chronological 9-to-5, are like this emotionally, with the Wall Street stock market syndrome. You know what I mean? We're up. People speak well of us. We have a lot. We can do a lot. Okay, we're up. Well, guess what? The older you get, the less you can do what you used to do. So I guess when you can't do what you did before, you're not valuable. Get rid of you. Now, I know this doesn't make sense to any of you. And you should have been your brother-in-law that was here, your best friend, and you can get this tape for him, right? It'll help him out. Most of our lives are up and down because our value is not fixed. We are going by the world's standard. Do you know even when Jesus our Lord was tempted, do you know the temptations? The devil said, turn these stones into bread if you be the beloved of the Lord. And guess what Jesus said? No. Do something, the devil said. Do. You are what you do. Jesus said, no, I'm not. I'm the beloved of the Father. I'm not what I do. Ooh. Second temptation, throw yourself off the top of the temple, let angels catch you and gently bring you down. Guess what that would do? A display like a circus and everyone would speak well of him. Oh, he's the Messiah. He did a miracle. Look, he jumped off the temple and he landed. And isn't this something? Jesus, do something spectacular so people will speak well about you. Jesus said, no, I'm not what I do. I'm the beloved of the Father. I'm not what other people say I am. Doesn't matter what they say. And the third one, you are what you have. Remember, Satan said, bow down and worship me, and I will give you all the world. You'll have everything. Jesus said, nope. This world is constantly telling you, you are what you do. You are what other people say about you. You are what you have. Guess what? That's not true. Look at the text. Luke 3:23, you are my beloved, and on you my favor rests. As Jesus our Lord came out of the waters of baptism, the heavens were open, the Holy Spirit descended, and the Father spoke an enduring word of reality about Christ, but also about all of us who have been bought through his shed blood. You are my beloved. Your belovedness. You know, when your little child is born, you just behold them because they are your beloved on whom your favor rests. You don't have to talk yourself into loving your kids. You don't have to talk yourself into loving the people that you love. There's just something so deep that comes out when you see your beloved. And God says, and that's the way I feel about you. Song of Solomon 6, verse 3, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Can you imagine from eternity, whatever you think about you, whatever your opinion about you is, and God bless you for it, but it may be wrong. You can live 65 years and have stinking thinking with relationship to what God thinks about you. You know all your sins, and you figure, well, when I sin, then God's mad, and he's angry at me, and he turns his face away, and now I got to do good things, and I get his forgiveness and move. No. Whether you ever do anything else, he is beholding you from eternity, declaring, you are my beloved. From before the foundation of the world, he chose you. And no matter what your sin is, he will never turn his face away from you. You may turn your face away from yourself, thinking you ugly thing, you stupid thing. Look what I did again. I did it again. I can't believe it. Well, that's you talking to you. God sees you as his beloved. Now, my kids do get poop in their diaper sometimes. And you know what? They do. That's what sin is like, poop in the diaper. What do you do with a kid that has poop in his diaper? Do you reject him? Say, give him back. I didn't know he was going to do something nasty. Take him back to baby land. No, you changed the diaper. The child, your beloved, the object of your love, is not their poop. Do you see? That's what sin is like. Yeah, it's real. Deal with it. And if you don't, you'll get some infections and whatever else. But you never reject the object of love. You never reject the beloved. God knows your sin. He knows every nasty thing about you. But so he'll clean it up and he will do a redemptive work in your life. But you aren't your sin. Now, here's the good news. All right? You are, according to Scripture, the beloved of the Lord. Now, the notes you see in front of you, we went through last week, but I just want to mention them really quick. There are four words: taken, blessed, broken, and given. When Jesus took the bread, he took it, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. And we looked at those four words that define us as the beloved of the Lord. Now, you're getting my idea. God calls you his beloved. That is exactly where you are right now in your life, your limitations, your weaknesses, your past, wherever you are in the present. You are the beloved of the Lord on whom his favor rests. And you have to repeat the truth of this. Because when you look in the mirror and you don't see that little baby you used to be, remember when you were just tiny and everybody went, oh, look at the baby? Well, you can wake up at 50 and look at the mirror and go, "What? Oh my God, what happened? You ugly thing." Well, you know, we don't see in the mirror what we see when we look at that little baby. Or I tell people, get a picture of yourself when you're about 4 years old. Stick it on the mirror in the bathroom. Stick it on the fridge. You have so much grace for yourself when you were little, don't you? You still look at your own baby pictures and go, oh, look at that cute little thing. Put that picture on the fridge. Put that picture on the mirror and start saying, you are God's beloved on whom his favor rests. And look in the mirror and say, I am the beloved of the Lord on whom his favor rests. I don't feel like it. But I'm not what I do, and I'm not what other people say about me, and I am not what I have in Jesus' name. I am the beloved of the Lord. Just like you focus on that little baby. I'll tell you, I love my kids. They are nasty sometimes. They're rude. They're self-centered. They're rebellious. They're all kinds of things. But they are, at end, my beloved on whom my favor rests. I wake up little Michael every morning, my little handicapped boy, and I say, you are my beloved on whom my favor rests. Little Michael can't do anything for himself, and he's a perfect image. You know, when you are around handicapped people, hasn't anybody ever been around handicapped people in your family? Okay. You know what I'm talking about. They are the beloved of the Lord. They can't do anything for themselves. In my son's case, he can't feed himself. He can't walk. He can't talk. He is utterly dependent on me thinking he is my beloved on whom my favor rests. He can't do anything to earn that. See? He didn't have anything other than what I give him. And no matter what anyone else says about him, he's my beloved. And there's just something so beautiful when you see an utterly dependent person. Boy, when you're weak and dependent and open, God will bring all of heaven down to meet your need. You can acknowledge when you're broken. You can acknowledge, no matter what, you are his beloved. Whether you're in sin, you're his beloved on whom his favor rests. Whether you're doing fantastic, you're his beloved on whom his favor rests. That's your identity. If you have poop, clean the diaper. Okay? That's what sin is like. You fall down, but you're his beloved on whom his favor rests. That's who just fell down. And those four words sort of speak of our belovedness: taken, blessed, broken, and given. Taken means you are chosen. listen to this, from all eternity, God chose you in your uniqueness and he set you apart as his. From the beginning, you were chosen uniquely. That means God sees something beautiful about you, unique and utterly special about you, that he chose you. He didn't get stuck with you. Oh, here she is. Well, we better just make the best of it. Oh, he's here. Huh. He didn't get you. He chose you. And taken was the imagery of being chosen, you know? Just like Jesus took the bread. He chose you. You are his beloved. He doesn't put up with you. He adores you. You say, ah, Craig, that's outside the realm of my experience. Tough. It is the truth. It is what it is. Well, whatever you've been thinking, we've got to line our thinking up with God because he wins. The Bible's right and somebody's wrong. It may take you the next 5 years looking in the mirror saying, I don't care what the devil says. There's voices in our minds. Don't you know that? You got internal voices saying you're ugly, you're stupid, you're dumb, you missed God, you hair-lipped your life, you destroyed everything. Oh, if only, yeah, but. If you only would have made different decisions and you didn't slip and fall on a banana peel when you were 14 and you had a different mom or a different dad or the abuse didn't happen. Voices, there's thousands of voices speaking to us all the time. But there's only one voice that we need to listen to. And it will always be the voice that says, you are my beloved on whom my favor rests. That's the only voice that matters. And that'll allow you to crowd them all out. I don't care what your best friend says. I don't care what somebody, your family says. I don't care what your spouse says. At the end of the day, God says, you're my beloved. Now, what that means is you were taken, chosen from eternity, blessed. There's the second word. Taken, blessed, broken, and given. Blessed. You know what blessing means? It means to lavish on someone. Good. Not evil. Sometimes we have people lavish evil on us. You know? I need them out of my life. They ain't lavishing, but they're lavishing evil on me, you know? So people that are negative and pulling you down and always cursing at you. But blessing is the opposite of cursing. Blessing is when someone in their words, in liberating terms, puts Niagara Falls on you. You're wonderful. Positive words. I love you. You matter. Blessing is when someone else calls your chosenness out and over you and says, you are the chosen of the Lord. You are the beloved of the Lord. You know the people you're around that lift you up and encourage you and fill your love tanks up. And you, when you're off the phone, you go, I like that. I like who I am when I'm around her. I like who I am when I'm done talking to him. You know, whew. And there's other people that are death stars. They'll suck your guts out. On the telephone, my God, 2 hours with some people, and they just put the death star, they put in their little umbilical cord, and shoo, they're death stars. They suck your life out. They walk in a room, you want to go out the other door. How come? Because they're death stars. They're not blessing you. They're cursing you. Now listen to this. Jesus took, blessed, broke, and he gave. He chose you from eternity, and as the beloved of the Lord, you're chosen. You can walk around and say, not arbitrarily, God loves everybody, but I am chosen from eternity. Yeah, there are 7 billion people on the planet, but God is so awesome in his eternal being that he can look at everyone as though they're the only one. That's how big he is. Not you, it's not because of you or me. It's because he is who he is. I love all my kids equally. I mean, all my kids, I love 100%. If I'm human and fallen and I can do that, what can God do with 7 billion people? Just adding zeros. See, our God picture is so limited, we think he only has one special, Pastor Joel's special, because he's on television, Billy Graham's special, and all the rest of us are cattle, you know, being sort of herded around. God doesn't see crowds. He counts by one, and from eternity, he chose you. He said, you're my beloved, and then he blessed you. He lavishes that reality. He sends people into your life to bless you, which is to lavish your chosenness upon you. Friends, call out the chosenness in you and they pour that upon you. What a wonderful word to hear. I'm chosen from eternity. I'm blessed. But look at the third one, broken. He took the bread, he chose it, he blessed it, and he broke it. Did you know there's brokenness in our lives, even as the beloved of the Lord? There are broken areas. There's sin in your life. That means we fall short in areas where we're immature. Sometimes we have an area of our life that's flourishing like the promised land, and we have in our life an area that's like a wilderness inside, that we just don't ever have hope we're ever going to get victory. But did you know what? God celebrates the brokenness of his beloved. He does. He brings his beloved in and he says, you are altogether lovely to me. You know, and I even say to Michael, my little boy, you're my beloved on whom my favor rests, and that is the worst poo in your diaper right now in the human history. Could have killed every principality and power within 2 miles. And I'll change it in time and with God's help not die in the process. But notice the twin realities, whatever Michael has in his diaper, does not define the fact that he's the chosen of the Lord. He's blessed. And I call out his chosenness, and I tell him what a wonderful gift he is all the time. And whatever's broken, we'll fix it. See, the thing about God, sometimes you go to a 12-step group and you look worse, but you're doing better. Sometimes you go to church and you look better, but you're doing worse. You can go to Happy Face Christian Fellowship. Hallelujah. All right, and you're broken, and you got to hide your brokenness for an hour, you know? You got to put on, hey, super good and getting better. We used to have a guy, I mean, his wife left him, his kids are on drugs, his hair's on fire, and we'd say, how are you? And he'd go, super good and getting better. You know, that's not the truth. Not nor do you have to cry on everybody's shoulder, but there's a balance. In God, he knows your past, and he actually draws a circle around your brokenness, and he says, you're taken, chosen, you're blessed, but you're also broken. And then the next one was given. Isn't it funny? God does not shy away from your brokenness. He says, I'm going to turn that broken area where you're weak into an area where you can be used to bless other people. And I'm going to literally give you as bread to the world and feed those around you through that place of brokenness in your life. See, we want to hide what's broken. We want to say, oh, that's an ugly part of me. I don't have control over that area. Guess what? Guess what? God says, let's put a spotlight on that, because your weakness is going to produce your strength. We should lead with our limp. We should be people that are not ashamed to say, I love Jesus and I am his beloved and I'm so screwed up in this area, but I sure need God's grace. I don't know about you. I need God's grace every day. I mean, some people, I don't know how they do it. They just always look like they're not in sin, and they always look like they're floating on the ground and you know, glowing in the dark. Well, that's not my life at all. I need my constant prayer all day, every day is, Son of David, have mercy on me. I'm saying that all the time. My kid said, Dad, why do you always quote one verse? I said, because it says it all. Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, help me. You know, Lord Jesus, help me. I didn't say that right. Lord, help me. I'm on the phone. I should have said this. I should have said, you would have, should have, could have. But you know what, God affirms our brokenness and says, I'm going to use that very reality about you, your chosenness, your blessedness, and your brokenness, and I'm going to feed everybody around you with that. So you see, who am I? I am the beloved of the Lord on whom my favor rests. No matter what, do we deal with sin? Of course. Do we confess it? Absolutely. And if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, because through his shed blood, we are his beloved. So whether we're in the wilderness, we are his beloved. Whether we're in good times on the mountaintop, we are his beloved. You know, I want to remind you of somebody named Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the books of the New Testament. He spent the majority of his Christian ministry in prison. Now, would you give to a ministry like that? We'd like to commend Brother Paul to you. He's beaten after every sermon. Thrice he's been beaten with rods. His Jewish brethren hate him. The Christian community doesn't trust him. And he's been in jail now for 2 years. But we'd love you to, we're taking an offering up. What? What? Where there's smoke, there's fire. It sounds suspicious to me. Paul couldn't preach in most of our churches if they read his credentials. Stirs up trouble everywhere he goes. Gets religious authorities mad. He teaches new things we're not too sure about. He makes us uncomfortable. I don't like he's got a bald head. It must be something wrong. He lost his hair. It must be sin there. Do you see how weird we are and how suspicious we are and how we misread people? God will send you someone into your life that doesn't look anything like you would expect, but they are the beloved of the Lord on whom his favor rests, and they are chosen and blessed and broken and given, and God will give you people in your life, but they will affirm you. You know, even when you correct someone, you fall out of the boat of truth into an ocean of grace. That's the rule. You don't go up to a spouse or anybody else and go, now let me tell you, and then you unload a machine gun. Of each bullet is a fact. Fact. Okay? Listen, every one fact you give anyone, you have to give an ocean of grace for them to fall into. Or shut up about it. You're not getting anybody convinced when you rat-a-tat-tat. And another thing. And a thing or two. And a thing or three. And when I do it to my kids, they glaze over too. See, I know better, but I'll still say, now, sit down. When I find myself Charlie Brown's teacher, and this is what they're hearing. And they nod their head, like good people on Sunday morning, and they don't hear a thing that I'm saying. Come on. You ever tried to preach somebody into something? In Jesus' name, amen. That's all they're hearing. So give it up. Who died and left you Holy Ghost? That's what I always like to tell myself. Who died and left you Holy Ghost? The Holy Spirit, last I checked, is capable of convincing men, women, boys, and girls of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and he will bring people to what they need to see about themselves. The question is, am I going to be a help or a hindrance? Am I going to be here to encourage them when they fall or encourage them when they hit bottom, or am I just going to be Holy Ghost? Take up that beautiful, wouldn't that be dumb on a shirt? I am the Holy Spirit. Now, you would never wear a shirt like that, but you'll act like that when you think you know better. Everybody knows what you need to know. Have you figured that out? Well, listen, loved one. Let's take a look. You are the beloved of the Lord. He's taken you, he's blessed you, he's broken you, and he's given you, and his desire is to use you to feed others positively. You got to be around people that are going to build you up. I don't want to be around people that are going to tear me down. There's enough tearing me down. I need to be built up. I need people to encourage me. You get a lot more done with encouragement than you do preaching and nagging. Nagging doesn't work, but we keep doing it all the time. And another thing. I hope you got that. Never works. Doesn't work with a 5-year-old, doesn't work with a 15-year-old, doesn't work with a 50-year-old. But we all just sort of sit there glaze-eyed and go, I really got through that time. No. No. They just get better at hiding. They just won't show you the truth anymore. Well, they never brought that problem up again. Yep. Never will. When you're so scathing that you murder someone when they walk in the, excuse me, I have an issue. I need you. What? You know, it's just like you drop an atom bomb on a gnat. They just don't bring it up anymore. And they smile. Happy Face Christian Fellowship. Praise the Lord. Super good and getting better. You don't have a leg. Your eye is gone. Super good and getting better. You see, we shouldn't have to be that way at the church. Because, see, when you know you're the beloved of the Lord, there's a sense of peace that comes upon you and stability. It's like, wait a minute, if he chose me and blessed me and he's taken my brokenness and he's using me to feed the world, wait a minute. Yeah, I've got some issues, but bless God, I'll be all right. I need to be a window to eternity to the people around me. Now I'm going to conclude this in a minute, but I want you to look at the fifth point on your notes. It says, the beloved of the Lord sent and returning. What that means is, can you imagine what a sacred journey we would have if we viewed our lives? Listen, I am the beloved of the Lord on whom his favor rests, and I am purposely sent by God into the world. Everywhere I go is a divine appointment. Even my little job, even if nobody else notices me because I'm not what I do and I'm not what they say and I'm not what I have, but I'm the beloved of the Lord. If we viewed our lives from McDonald's to going into the bathroom to going to work as I am the beloved sent out into the world for divine purposes, whether you see it or not, there could be just two people in your life. But if you say, I'm sent, I'm not only sent into the world, which makes every step of my journey sacred, from the bathroom to the boardroom to all my friendships to all my to every phone call I've got, this is a divine appointment because I'm the beloved of the Lord. I'm sent out. And then I'm returning. Someday, I'm going to meet with my beloved in heaven face to face, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. But you know what? Jesus said, I know where I've come from, and I know where I'm going. Jesus said, I came from heaven as the beloved of the Lord to minister and to give my life, and I return to the Father. And we are sent and returning. That means, I'm telling you, when I get on an airplane, now I'm thinking, I'm the beloved of the Lord. This is a sacred part of my journey here. I'm not sitting in C-26 by accident. And I'm telling you, almost everywhere I go, now that I'm looking for divine appointments, they're right around. Girl sat in front of me in the plane. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, Lord, where's the divine appointment? That's what I'm doing. I'm just saying, is there one? Because sometimes I'm tired and I don't want one. I don't want a divine appointment. My divine appointment is deep sleep. Come on. We need that too. But by gosh, I'm on a plane and I'm looking around. Where's the divine appointment? Where's the, didn't see anything, didn't see anybody. So I read my book. That was my next step as the beloved of the Lord to read. Nothing happened. 5-hour flight. Nothing happened. I thought, oh, okay, well, maybe God just wanted me to read my book. And but I'm on a journey now. See, I'm sent. You know, I get up to leave. You know, we're getting our bags, and a girl over here lifts up the thing and pulls a guitar out. And I said, well, that's a nice guitar, because I know guitars. I said, that's a nice guitar. She said, yeah. She goes, I wrote a song about a special needs child I have, and it's all over the world right now, and I've got a new ministry and a new website about special needs kids. And she says, do you know anything about that? And I said, I have a special needs son named Michael. He's 12 years old. This was a 2-minute conversation while we're waiting for the cabin to open, to get out, to go into there. By the time I left that little plane, and we were out in the concourse, this divine appointment occurred with this woman. She gave me her contact information. How many people are flying on planes with special needs kids? Somebody shut up. Can you imagine the odds? And I didn't work it, and I didn't bring it about. Divine appointment, you will happen now. Now. Indeed. Let it flow. The woman bumped into me, almost hit my head with the guitar, with her special needs weapon, you know. You know. Sorry, I almost made a special needs kid out of you. I said, speaking of special needs kids, his name is Michael. You know, do you know what I'm saying? Life becomes a journey when you're the beloved sent. I'm sent into this situation. I'm sent into this mess to bring a message out. I'm sent into this friendship. I'm sent into this marriage. There's something of a dignity that we assume when we begin to know we're sent and we're returning. Someday we'll return. You know, I always tell people there's one word in heaven. Oh, yeah. Because when you get there, everything's going to make sense. And when you get to heaven, God's never going to say, why weren't you more like Jerry Falwell? He's never going to say, why weren't you more like Joyce Meyer? He's going to say, why weren't you more like you, the beloved of the Lord, on whom my favor rests? He chose you from eternity. You are blessed. He'll take your brokenness and give you to the world and all those around you. And you are sent on a mission. When you leave here and go to have lunch, you're sent there. Now, don't get all paranoid about, well, what does that mean? You know what? Just let it flow. Just realize, hey, God can't steer a parked car. So just put the thing in drive and let your life start being a free, floating opportunity for God to run you into divine appointments. They're all around you. They'll find you. They'll find you. I can't escape divine appointments. I'm at a store in my strange-looking sports shorts and my weird jersey. And I just really look like a kid's nightmare. You know, my kids go, you're not going to wear that in public, are you, Dad? I said, yes, I am, with pride. Because I am the beloved of the Lord. I'm not what I dress with. I'm not, thank God. I'm at the store. And I'll turn around and someone will be crying and say, yeah, I just lost my husband. Or, you know what I mean? You wonder if there's a sign on your back. Ask me to pray for you. There's just something. God knows how to put people up near your ships, up near your life. He floats them right up near your life, and they just so happen to link up with you, maybe for a short time, not forever, but you have the minerals and vitamins that they need because you're the beloved on a mission. So as weird as I look, people still come up to me and tell me their problems, unsolicited. You know, where you just start looking around going, you know, I really don't want to do this right now. You know, I got to get home. I'm thinking to myself. I says to myself, you know what it's like. Well, let's pray that God increase those divine appointments. Let's pray most of all, though, that we leave here today. If we all die and go to meet the Lord in 20 minutes, at least you know who you are. I'm the beloved. Preacher told me, I'm the beloved of the Lord on whom his favor rests. Luke 3:23. Put that in your promise box. Put this on your refrigerator. Stick it on your mirror with a picture of you when you're 4 years old and say, taken, blessed, broken, and given. And I am on a mission from God. And I'm telling you what, in a week, your perspective will change. Everywhere you go becomes a new opportunity to love people out of bondages into life. Father, thank you for the truth that we are your beloved. Lord, forgive us for thinking we are what we have, we are what other people say we are what we can do. Lord, break off of us now, Lord, that tyranny and that bondage of us thinking that I have to do something to earn your love. I have to have something special to earn your love. People must speak well of me. Thank you, Lord, that we are delivered this morning from all the oughts and the shoulds. We are delivered this morning to be just like a little baby, the object of your gaze, your beloved. Father, I pray to affirm that identity on all my brothers and sisters and all those listening in. I just confer in Jesus' name. We wipe away, Lord, all of the doing and the need to be spoken well of and the need to have stuff. Paul the apostle in jail didn't have anything that in the world would value. And he wasn't doing anything the world would value at the moment. And other people spoke evil of him, but he was the beloved of the Lord, writing 2/3 of the books of the New Testament. Lord, help us listen to one voice, the voice that speaks over us. You are my beloved, on whom my favor rests. In Jesus' name, someone say amen.